Dougie.
The fastest, quickest, smoothest footwork. He is the Fred Astaire of martial, of jiu-jitsu, the Fred Astaire of judo. But he's the Dom DeLuise of pizza eating. I don't get it. I don't get this.
Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. Here is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late. Now everybody. Wake up late. Everybody. Wake up late. Wake up late.
Wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know.
We're the hottest show in the place. Wake up late now, everybody. Wake up late now, everybody. Wake up late now, everybody. I said one, two, three. Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now. Let's start the show.
Thank you, Elgin. That's right. Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and it's Wednesday, February 6th. And I'm here with a very funny man, tonight's headliner at Tavolino's Wise Guys Comedy Show, Kevin Downey Jr.
Yeah, baby.
And Rudy Wilson from Miami Comedy Scene.
Yes, sir.
And we're here to talk about comedy and whatever the hell I can think of at the moment. Because, you know, I did a lot of work today. I brushed my pool. You know what I mean? I brushed my pool. I cleaned the filter of the pool.
You know, when you said that earlier, I was like, I've never heard of anyone brushing their pool.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
I'm glad I'm not the only person that's lost, because I was getting ready to ask, what the hell does
brushing
your
pool? Yeah, well, that's a white, mid you know, middle class white right. hashtag world. You know, it's like I could be on Family Feud, and they'll be saying, something you brush. I'm like, my pool.
My pool.
And they're going to be like, what the hell is he talking about?
I would have picked cat first.
Yeah.
Anything. We used to vacuum the pool. We didn't brush it.
Yeah, I do too, but the hose kind of sucks.
Oh, okay. I got
and like, you. Know, you know,
I was just confused.
When you're vacuuming the pool, and the usually if with a good, sounds kind of gay, but good suction. I don't know. Just
it
good,
works.
Yeah, say it again. Say it good what?
Say it again. With good suction.
It's not gay. It's not gay. Say it again.
Suction. So, you know, the head of the vacuum stays on the thing.
All right.
You know, it's got hard to push.
Head?
Did I say head?
interesting pool.
Yeah. I'm brushing my pool and getting, all right, so try to keep up at home. So, but you know what I mean? So the suction in my pump is not that great. So it's like as I'm pushing the fucking vacuum on the pool, it's like lifting up and like leaving the ground of the pool. Jeez. And I'm like, this isn't going to work. So
I'm glad that became more about the pool, because it was turning into gay porn for a month.
Well, everything turns into gay porn at some point. We got a great show for you tonight. Those of you guys watching on Facebook Live, if you're in the South Florida area, come to Coral Springs, Florida. Just $15. You get to see these two guys, and I'm opening the show. My friend Hiram may be there as well. We'll be doing Hiram Rios. Yeah, hey, what's up, Hiram? He's on the Facebook Live, and probably doing a guest spot as well. Bring your folks, bring your kids, some of the best Italian food you'll ever eat. When I started doing comedy there 5 years ago, I weighed 150 pounds, and I got to thank those guys for it.
Wow.
By the way, I'm excited. I auditioned for a movie, like a short film. Where go figure what I guess what I auditioned for.
Pool brusher.
Yeah, oddly enough. It's a pool brusher. A mafia guy.
Yeah, okay. I
can see that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
Mr. Alameda would like to have, he's in a very difficult situation he's discussed with you.
Yeah. I think, I don't know if it's patented, but yeah, I can't say the lines.
Okay.
But that is why I'll never eat a tuna fishage. Get that guy out of here. He's an amateur.
Well, that's what's up. So you said you tried out for it?
Well, I sent in like a video audition.
Oh, okay. Mm.
And I had like three scenes.
Okay.
Like basically reading. And I had my wife reading, which is, this is one of my moments where I'm like, I want to get my wife involved.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Here, honey, let's do something. I could have cut like a professional actor, like Elgin, who does our intro. His wife's about to have a baby. But, right. You know, I have somebody who could read.
Right.
You know, because somebody's got to read other lines. So you're not just sitting there going, is that right?
Uh-huh.
You don't say. Right. You know what I mean? So so my wife was reading. Now, my wife is Asian, and you know, she speaks, you know, not as bad as I imitate her on stage, but she, you know, so she's laughing while she's reading the lines and shit. So I don't know how good I'll do. But I don't know how it'll turn out. But I had fun. You know what I mean? It's like we filmed it right here in Danger Studios and from the waist up. Right. And I think they're looking for facial expressions.
Right?
Those are important on stage, right? When you guys do comedy?
So. Absolutely.
Use a lot of facial expressions, Rudy?
Yeah. I don't know if I'm known for them, but I think I use them. I think I'm pretty, I guess.
Well, you're pretty up there. You're animated on
I'm
stage.
I'm pretty animated in general, so yeah.
Yeah. And I'm gonna be honest with you, because we did shows at the Craftsman and stuff,
right.
And that sound system's a little,
right?
And I don't know if I mentioned something to you, but I would get, like you laugh at, you'll say something after a joke, but the sound system is so, like, high. I don't know if the pitch is high in those mics.
Yeah.
It was loud as shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, stop laughing in the mic.
Yeah, it's the disadvantage when you are at, you do, like, a lot of bar shows or whatever.
Yeah.
They're not going to invest in good mics because they know they know they're going to break them. Like, they know they're going to snap in half at any given second. So it's like, you know, we just have to deal with, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody's going to drop the mic thinking they're Chris Rock.
Right. Uh-huh. That actually happened. The mic cord got caught around Oreo's foot, and it fell and snapped in half right before I even grabbed it to say my name.
Oreo? Is a comic name Oreo?
Oreo.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oreo. I thought you said Oreo. No. See, that's what a fat guy says. You said Oreo. I heard Oreo, dude.
I heard Oral. Does that make me gay?
Yeah. Well, and I'm a gay fat guy. I'll give you a blowjob, but only after I eat my double stuff. Fucking love double stuff. One of my jokes, man, I mentioned I like buttercream. And some guy says, you need to sell t-shirts that say, I love buttercream. Really? You think that'll sell? You know, and merch-wise?
I think he was convinced.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And you've definitely got a persona on stage. I mean, it's just, you know.
More persona than animation, I think.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going more persona. Expressive, but.
Right.
Yeah, not the Robin Williams.
Yeah. Right. My early comedy was more like that. And then I went into the monologist just sitting there, you know. And then recently I had advice from someone. I'm like, actually someone from AGT said, yeah, you need to, you know, you tell that joke the way you are, that face, that double chin, mm-hmm. you know, that body moving. You know what I mean? It's like when you go to like a softball game, like a men's softball game, and you see some guy in third that looks like he just raided a fucking vending machine.
Uh-huh.
You're like, what's this guy doing on third? Next thing you know, the ball's hit to the guy and he moves like with grace and agility of a uh-huh. fucking Olympic athlete. You're like, holy shit. You know what I mean? That's amazing. You can't forget that. Mm-hmm. So on stage, it's not that much different.
Right. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? You got to be memorable. That's what it's all about. Speaking of being memorable, you had America's Got Talent. That was what season? How many seasons ago?
2013, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, recent. Not too bad. Time flies nowadays, man.
Yeah.
It's shocking.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you a question. I watched they have the champions now. The mm-hmm. champions one that's on now. And South Florida comic Preacher Lawson, who took second.
Uh-huh.
Very funny guy. Really a lovable guy, right? And he's on that. And Tom Cotter.
Yep.
Was on that. Now, I don't know if you saw the episode.
I know I didn't see it, but I know what you're talking about.
Tom Cotter, professional. I mean, the last time I was with him and Eddie Brill at the old Hard Rock Improv doing a show one night.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one-liner just boom, ba boom, crushing. Yep. And that fucking limey, Simon buzzed him.
I couldn't believe it.
You know, he buzzed him. Tom Cotter. And it threw him off.
Yeah.
If you saw it, it just...
I heard.
You know.
Oh, he buzzed him like in the middle of his set.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Like early in the set.
Oh, wow.
Like he buzzed him in the first couple minutes.
Jeez.
Not even the first 30 seconds. And you know, I heard from somebody, America's Got Talent, they're looking for alternative comedy and things like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
And they don't want traditional, you know, because, and again, I'm a comic. I don't want to say anything. And God bless that one woman that's on there, the trailer
oh,
nasty.
I know who you mean. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, love or death, but, you know, you know, and love the guys with Tourette's. I worked with Samuel Comroe recently, you know. And I've seen him. I think he did great when I saw him at a club, mm-hmm. you know. But watching the stuff I'm watching on TV is like, that's a joke? Was that a joke?
Yeah.
I didn't get it. But then I don't know. Maybe it's me because I'm an asshole traditional comic.
You know what? See, there's a big alternative comedy scene in New York City. And the real comics say alternative means no laughs necessary.
Right. Yeah, it's more like just somebody doing like poetry without rhymes.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
I don't know why they're looking for that because it's not going to work, and it's not going to work for that audience either.
I didn't think so.
Remember
I mean, but then you watch
that.
These people, these fucking hoople heads, like, oh my god,
God, that was the most amazing thing.
Yeah.
What the fuck? How was that amazing?
This is a show where dancing dogs won.
Yeah.
That's who's watching it.
But I mean, but that also goes for music. I've heard on some of them shows, and I've heard somebody sing, and I'm like, yo, this shit is terrible.
Right.
And the judge is just like, wow, that is the most. So, I mean, I think, I don't know. I don't know what it is that is they're looking for, or maybe they just figured this is who they want to win or whatever. Yeah. But sometimes I think, you know, maybe they're just going for something and they just, you know.
Now, how far did you advance in 2013?
I went to the first live round at Radio City Music Hall.
Yeah?
And I was beaten by Children and Animals.
Oh, really?
You know what? Here's the thing about that show. I mean, yeah, go ahead, watch it, vote. But every time you advance another level, you get another packet you got to sign. And the very last lines are, executive producers have final say over who will advance.
Really? That, yeah.
And when I was on, there was a band of Iraq war vets. And they went to the next round, and the producer said, you're going to do this song. And they said, but wait, that little girl did it the last round. And they said, we don't care. You're doing this song.
Really? It seemed that way, because some of the conversation I had with some people, you know, people involved recently, it's like, and people that are in the contest, too, they're saying, you know, they give you the material. Like, basically, it's like, hey, whatever you go in there with, just get in. But after that, next thing you know, they're pretty much writing what they, you know,
yeah,
what you want to do.
And that band, obviously, is not going to advance if they're doing a song that the little girl did the round before.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. I don't want to pull out my judge hat, but I don't want to. I'm not going to go to Vegas to watch. God bless these veterans for their dedication. Them playing halfway, you know, the fact the only thing that connects the whole band is that, you know, God bless them. They all served. That's great.
Uh-huh.
But you know what I mean? I don't want to listen to a band from everybody who likes to eat pizza on Friday.
Right.
You know what I mean? I want the band to work out because they gel.
They were a great band,
yeah,
and they got screwed.
Oh.
And they were arguing like, "What? We're not gonna advance."
Oh.
They were great.
So much my theory.
They actually were good. Oh, okay.
They really were good.
They got a record deal, shit, and everything now, though. You don't know what you're talking about.
Here's what I don't get: like, I'm not gonna go to Vegas to see a little girl sing.
Yeah, definitely.
Anything.
And children can't perform in Vegas.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially not at the times you're going out, late
yeah.
night and stuff
hey,
like
honey,
that.
We're going to go watch this right. five-year-old sing
right.
opera.
At
really?
At a casino or something.
There's a law. You have to be, I think, 16 to perform in a casino after, what you know, like you said,
right.
like...
Certain time.
Seven
night.
Yeah.
Right.
So that little girl, like, they at the time, their plan was, we need to sell tickets in Vegas. So you would think we're going to get the people that are going to do great in Vegas.
Now that's no longer what the whole deal is now, right?
No.
You don't have like a, you don't have something like that now.
I don't think they have a Vegas show or even a traveling show now.
Yeah, Terry Vader was one of the winners one year. Very,
yep.
you know, who sings, and I, you know, again, prop comic, you know, did great, you know, and he sings. And sometimes I watch him, I'm like, I don't want to hear you sing, dude. Make the dummy talk again.
Yeah,
you know,
that's why we're here.
The guy's just sitting there with the fucking dummy, and he's singing. It's like a whole like three bars of a fucking song. But I was in Reno at the Laugh Factory with Joey Medina and Big Irish Jay Hollingsworth, and Fader came.
Uh-huh.
He performed at the main room there. We were at the Laugh Factory, and people came out of there leaving early.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they said he thought he was horrible.
Wow.
Now, everybody has a bad day, okay?
Right.
I get it. But, you know, that guy's getting paid big bucks.
Yeah.
He's making a lot of money. He's making a lot of cheddar, that guy.
Yeah, that's a real expensive bad day at the office.
Yeah, that's like getting that call saying, I'm moving my account.
Yeah.
Yeah, or I got to go brush my pool now. So it's helped you, though, right? I mean, it's definitely...
You get a solid year out of it.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I did theaters for a year after that.
Yeah.
And some of them I'm still doing, so... It worked out great, so you'll get a solid year out of it. But then the next show comes, and everyone wants to see who's going to be on this time.
Right.
But,
right.
like, Tom Cotter got more than that. He got a lot of
right.
corporate stuff.
Yeah.
And he's, yeah. you know, because he came in second place. He went way farther than I did.
A lot more exposure, yeah. And look at Preacher Lawson's blowing up that kid. I mean, he's selling out everywhere he's going. You know, but some of those people, it's like an American Idol. You know, some people made it big, and some people are driving Uber.
Right.
Yeah.
right,
you know
right.
what I mean?
Winners.
Yeah.
Winners at that. Not even, like,
absolutely.
And some people who didn't win made it further.
Yeah. Look at Daughtry.
Right, right.
Everybody
yep.
wants to see him. I think it's Vin Diesel singing songs. yeah, I don't know. I was thinking about it. I was actually sent a tape, and basically the response was, we're looking for alternative acts, blah, 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 blah. And but there's something else that a friend of mine, Jamie Ward, comedian out of Atlanta, very funny guy, is with the World Series of Comedy now as a host. Congratulations, buddy. That he put this thing, Hanging Tough. It's an NBC show, which you're all types of entertainment. So, I, you know, again, I probably could have put more thought into it, But I took my 3-minute set I had from the audition tape for AGT from Ice House, which is, I was just there in December. Mm-hmm. That's a good tape. And another five was from another 3 minutes from another one. It's all clean. And then they ask you to send a video, like, hey, what, give us a short video of why you should be on the show. And, you know, I probably should have planned this out better, but I basically took my phone, you know, and walked around going, I walked around here going, hey, man, I need a TV credit, baby. Right. Look at all my friends. They're getting work. I need a TV credit. Right. It's not my jokes. I got jokes. I need a TV credit. You know, I just went through that route. And I thought it was stupid and horrible, but now I'm thinking, well, listen, I thought that band would have never made it. Meanwhile, they were fucking great. So who knows what I did? Right. I don't know. Any rate,
that's hilarious.
So he kicks my ass at a contest recently, and we did like 7 minutes.
Yeah, it was like 7 minutes.
Yeah. I didn't get to see anybody set because the place seats 40 people.
Yeah,
and
there's no room for comics.
Yeah, well, some people were sitting in there.
Yeah,
and you know, I just remember, I think I went up second or third pretty early, and yeah, you know, I didn't. It was all right. You know, weird feeling. You get depressed after shows? Anything happen? Like, you ever have a night where something doesn't go? Does it get in your head a little bit?
Nope, not anymore.
You don't give a fuck?
Do not give a fuck.
Yeah?
I'm bulletproof.
Really?
They can stare at me. They can throw shit at me tonight. I'll have a friend. There's a friend of mine I grew up with in Detroit who's coming. Haven't seen him in 40 years. And I would rather not bomb in front of him, obviously. But, yeah, they could hate me. Say, hey, sorry, Scott. Good to see you the first time. They hated me. Let's go get a beer. Like, yeah. I don't care anymore. Yeah. I care enough. I want to do well, obviously. Right. But when I say I don't care, I mean, I'm not going to go back to my room going, damn it, can't believe it. Oh, right. Man.
Yeah.
I can bomb and still try to go fuck the hottest chick in the room. Right. It's not going to affect
short-term
my confidence.
Short-term memory.
Yeah. Yeah. I just bounce it off. Oh, that sucked. Hey, you're hot.
You don't worry about why. Just accept it. Whatever.
If I don't do well, I'll know why.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be 29 years on February 14th.
All right, yeah. So, you've got that realization, that self-reflection. You know, you're one with God. I say that like what years ago, I think when I was 30, my mantra the whole year was to know oneself is to know God. And some people said, you're talking to God? No, dumbass, I'm not talking to God. But I know what I can and can't do. Right. I'm not going to go out and train for the Olympic pole vaulting team.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
I'm not going to fucking do that. Right. You know, I know what I can do and can't do. And you know what? Big time. I've run into a lot of people recently where he said, look, that's fucked up. Why'd you do it? I'm like, what are you talking about? They're running up. People need to fucking take. And my good friend Sean Jones, comedian, tours all over the country, recently did the Looney Bin with him. Responsibility and accountability.
Yes.
Two fucking big things, man, that people just don't have nowadays.
Right, right,
right.
Yep.
That's facts.
Absolutely.
Right? Right? Accountability. When you're on stage, you know why the fuck, you know. Like in that contest, I thought, you know, by the second, third joke, you know, I tell a joke. I said, I need to lose weight. Even the picture of me on the refrigerator keeps sliding down. That's a fucking joke that gets people. And I'm looking at them, I'm like, motherfucker. You know, like right off the bat, I knew, all right, I know it's a funny joke. They're not, something's wrong here.
Yep.
It's just you know, it's not started yet. I didn't see who went up before me, how good or bad. That, you know, I didn't know.
Right, right, right.
I just said, you know what? And I said to myself, I don't give a fuck. I'm just going to do my 7 minutes.
Yep.
And then that's it. But in my head, I'm thinking, I'm not going to be sitting there ready to go up. And the winner is.
Right, right, right.
You know,
it
wasn't one of those sets.
Right, no, yep.
If somebody came up to me, how'd you do? How'd you feel? Ah.
Right.
You know? So, how you feel, man? You ever have a bad night?
Well, of course.
Yeah.
No, I've had terrible nights before. Some self-inflicted from being too drunk.
Right.
I've done that.
You know, you end up doing like 20 minutes of just talking to this one person in the front, and then you realize your time is right. You're like, oh, shit. Well, that was that. Thank y'all. You know, you know, and then even just, you know, you try something new, whatever. I mean, just the typical stories. I've experienced it all. But I mean, I'm kind of the same place with him, even just in general. Like even before starting comedy, I guess through playing football, being in the military, whatever, I guess I've dealt with so many, I guess, quote unquote, bad games.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Miss a tackle, whatever. So I've learned slightly earlier before I even started doing comedy to just
how
be
to
like,
deal with it. Yeah.
It's just like,
I was a goalkeeper in soccer, so I was like that guy. I was the last I was the last man.
Right, yeah.
So when the ball goes through your legs,
yeah, you were it. You were,
that was
yeah.
it. You know what I mean?
It's yep. your fault.
Yeah, and nothing worse than when you're playing a fucking an asshole team,
right?
And they, and you're running out, and the guy puts the ball between your legs, which, by the way, as a goalkeeper, is one of the hardest places to stop the ball,
right?
Because you're trying to go up, down to the side, and the motherfucker puts it right between your legs,
right.
And then he goes running behind the goal, going, with his hands, he's showing that he nutmegged you, and you're embarrassed. You're like, yeah, okay, fucker, yeah. You know. But you right there, you know, it's like even in poker. I like to play poker, so sometimes. You know, you're playing poker and somebody's losing, they get mad. Like, you're fucking, you're like, dude, it's a fucking game, you know?
Right.
The fuck you yeah. get mad? You want me not to fucking win?
Right.
I didn't come here to just hand out money.
Yeah.
You know, I'm coming to get your money.
And I've never played soccer, but you saying that makes me think that I guess a goalkeeper would almost kind of be like a kicker for football because, like, you're like, you don't matter until you matter. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, nobody
yeah.
gives a shit about the kicker until he misses the game winning field goal.
Right,
and it's
yeah.
like, who the fuck is this? You know what I'm saying? They just ready to show up at his house and kill him and
yeah.
all this stuff. But the rest of the season, as long as he was just kicking extra points, he was just like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was it. Like the big moment. You
right,
know, it's like
right.
our team took almost the whole game to score.
Right.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, now they're coming.
Right.
You know, here they come, yeah. and you know they're in, and it's in slow motion. And,
right, right.
and I was a short goalie. I'm only 5'9".
Right.
You know, I'm playing college and little pro. So, and I remember this is a big. I remember playing the University of Tampa, and these fucking pricks.
Yeah.
They had like three guys from Denmark, and they're forwards that are 6'5".
Oh.
Yeah. So they kept all game. They're crossing the ball on my ass. Right. So at one time they scored. Guy fucking corner kick, and I came out. And I was brutal. I'd come out flying, but this fucking Denmark guy smashes into me, like literally runs into me, and the other guy comes up and heads it behind him.
Oh,
goal.
Man.
Yeah, my
Is
English,
that a legal move?
Well, it was kind of like we were all going for the ball, but
okay.
it was a little, I mean, it was strategic. Even my,
yeah.
you know, and my English coach, he's a prick, because the other goalie that him and I were fighting for time was 6'5".
Yeah.
Yeah, so like I was no, any moment to get rid of me,
yeah.
you know. So at the halftime, it's like, don't get your fucking gut, you know, get fucking up in the hair, you know. I'm a bitch, the fucking guy, the fucking Viking cocksucker ran into me. You know what do you want me to do, man?
Right. Right.
So that's it hilarious. Was, but yeah, man, you got to accept shit like that, you know. I recently was a little buff because I did a I was at the Looney Bin and they had a triple feature. So basically, you put three people. You're all basically rotating and from MC to middle, a headline,
right,
and you
right.
rotate.
Yeah.
And you know, the first night, light crowd, shit like that. And I said, you know, first of all, that's a tough thing because when you're going up an hour into any show, that's tough.
Yeah.
Right. You know, especially it's tough on two reasons. If the show sucks, it's tough.
Yeah.
And if the show's really fucking good, it's even tough because
yeah.
now. The crowd's kind of like, you know, it's like when your girl says, can we do it again? You're like, really?
Yeah.
Fuck it again?
Right.
You
yeah.
think I've been doing the last
Man,
3 minutes.
Yeah, I've had
so,
many nights like that.
You know what I mean?
And
like,
I'm young, so I don't even
yeah.
have an excuse.
Nah, dude, I'm fuck that. I can't remember the last time I had two in the chamber. You can't even think about that. And my wife's smart. See, my wife's one with God, too. She doesn't ask.
Yeah.
She knows better to ask. You know, I just hear that buzzing sound. Are you brushing your teeth in bed? What are you doing? At any rate. So, well, that's cool, man. You know, but I had one of those. My thing didn't go that great. You know what I mean? And I'm like, so by the end of the weekend, I was opening the shows on the mm-hmm. Saturday shows, Friday, the two shows Saturday.
Right.
And I was a little bummed out about that. And I thought, you know. But then the manager's like, dude, everybody did great. You know, you were just, as a host, you worked out because you, like, I host a show. So
yeah.
the guy said, you know, the other guy's not a host. He's a feature. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Right.
So he's going to, I can't put him as a host.
That's where the physics of comedy come into play.
Right,
right, right. Absolutely.
You know, because there's some people, I'm a horrible host. They just stare at me going, what the fuck is this guy doing? This is insane.
Yeah.
But I recently auditioned for, I won't mention the club, I recently auditioned for a show. And this was a funny fucking guy that's been a headliner a long time, but he hosted, and he's a fucking horrible host.
Yep.
And I had to follow that shit.
Yeah.
And you know what? If you don't host for a while, you forget that it's the same game, but slightly different rules,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
you got to tune that up a bit.
It's almost like NFL football and then like arena football.
Yeah.
Like, it's like the same rules, but
right.
like if you're not careful, you can get knocked over a fucking wall.
Yep. you got to play it different.
Yeah,
you got to
yeah,
play it differently.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, all right, so we have a lot of young comics that listen to the show and up-and-coming comics, especially here in South Florida. What are some of the general rules, would you say, of a host that would probably be the difference between going up... Because the sweet spots are open it, the feature. Because
yeah,
basically
right.
your job is the thing's already been set.
Right.
You come out, you do your 25, 30 minutes, just fucking do what you need to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't suck. As long as you don't suck,
Yeah.
You've done your job.
Right.
Right. Right? You've done it. And then, of course, you could really fucking crush. Right. And then headliners will follow. Real headliners will follow. Other ones will complain. It's like, how much time's that guy got?
Right.
That's what they'll come up and say. Well, how much more time's that guy got? Like, right. Don't worry about it there, fucking. So, I mean, what do you think? What do you think some of the things a host must put this down as they go on stage to host?
I think the MC needs to get them quiet, get them focused, do some material, do some crowd work. Don't do too much of either. Just get them focused for when the middle comes up. Get ready here. Hey, you know, as much as I hate doing it, it's a great idea to say who's celebrating something.
Yeah.
Because someone's going to yell, it's her birthday.
Right.
Yeah.
Or Jenny's getting married.
Right. I'm thinking about breaking out my familiar feud bit tonight.
It's perfect.
Yeah, like getting. I have a mic. I'll go get somebody on stage.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your name, Bill? Okay, we're going to do a quick round, a speed round of familiar feud. Okay, you ready? I'm going to say something. Okay, name something you find in your husband's pocket. You know, name
vacuum brush.
Yeah, name something you blow.
Vacuum brush.
You know. Anyway,
right.
Who knows? But all right. So yeah, you got to do that. You know, don't. I've seen people go up and host. They just go right into material and like. People are still talking. They're still looking at their menus. Right. They're still fuck. Like, hey, man. You know what I mean? Like, hey, everybody, welcome to the show. Hey, everybody. Right. All right, shut your phones off and da 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 da. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then get the. All right, everybody, good. Now, you said, yeah, anybody, what you guys, anybody celebrating? What are you guys doing here? Now, anybody celebrating anything big? What are you serious with us? And then, okay, now you got them. Okay. And then you maybe tell a joke.
Yeah.
Now you want to see that they're getting ready for laughs.
Yep.
Right.
They're responsive. Because, right. You know, when I'm ready to go up and I'm watching the host, that's all I'm gauging the audience usually, yeah. Right? You like to watch the acts before you go up on stage?
It depends on how many before me.
Yeah.
Like if I'm at like a, you know, a showcase something, it's like 15 of us, I'll probably watch like the two or three before, but I'm
right.
I'm not
yeah,
I won't sit through like all 10. but even going back to the hosting, it's very strategic cuz a lot of, like you said, a lot of funny guys, they don't know how to transition back and forth with the housekeeping stuff. Like, hey, bathrooms are over here. Tell a quick joke. Hey, it is your birthday. Tell a quick joke. Whatever, you know, we got these comment cards. You know what I'm saying? Whatever the case may be. And all that stuff is easy to forget when you have the mindset of, when you have the mindset of just going up, just doing your bits, you know what I'm saying? Killing the crowd, whatever like that. So it's easy to miss, but I think it's a, I think that, you know, for people who...
And transition transition when you're hosting, transition. One of the things I like to have fun with is when I'm hosting, you mentioned that, I like to watch the act and pick up something from the act.
Right.
You know, exactly. And then come on stage and go, you know,
like
hey, you know, exactly,
right.
You know, and then, oh, hey, but, you know.
I'll watch everybody just in case I'm doing a pool brushing joke. I want to make sure.
Yeah.
Because if you did a pool brushing joke, you're going to stare at me.
I'm going to do mine tonight. I'm doing my hashtag, white people problems.
A buddy of mine did, this is like way back in the 90s. Remember when the car alarms went, whoop. Like, he did that joke, and it always got a big laugh, and people stared at him. And he said, "What? Yeah, that's so weird." So he went into the next joke. And the MC came up to him and said, just so you know, I'm doing the exact same joke, and we've never met.
Really?
He goes, and the whole joke was the sound.
I know somebody who does that joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was recently here, too.
Was he?
Shit. Is that him?
I don't know. The guy I know who did it was John Mulrooney.
Oh, yeah.
He was closing, and the MC did it.
You know, Brian Sclaro does a joke. Nobody listens to that, but how about, I lost my shirt.
Oh, yeah.
That woman's voice going, my shirt fell off. My shirt fell off. Boobies. Hilarious. Go see him on that. Yeah, but you do that. That happens. This is a true story. One time here in South Florida, we had a show, and Guilty, very funny comic out of Miami, did a joke, and he's done this joke, and I've heard other comics do this joke. But you know what? It's a stock joke in a sense. And this one guy, Tomahawk, he's a Florida comic. I call him Hack. Most people do. But he comes out into this story. We're doing a show at the cinema. Now, he's a white guy. He says he's American Indian. I don't know if he's related to Elizabeth Warren.
Uh-huh.
But he says that he's American Indian, too. And he threatened me, but he was going to beat me up and tomahawk me or something. So he goes out, he's a white guy, mind you. He goes to joke, boy, look at all these white people. The last time I saw this many white people was when I was in court. Now... First of all, that's like a guy who weighs 150 pounds doing a fat guy fucking joke.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, what the fuck? So meanwhile, Gil T, you know, is in the back, hilarious. Not watching the show. He's in the back. They had a nice green room with all kinds of shit, Perrier and fucking cheese and strawberries and not a bad spread. So, you know, Gil T's back there. And he goes out, doesn't even realize it. His fucking opening joke was
the same thing.
Yeah. Same fucking joke. And I go, oh, my God. And then when I told him that a white comic did it before him.
Right.
Yeah.
It was, you know.
That is hilarious.
Fuck. Yeah, that's
so
why.
When the white comics hit it, how did the crowd react?
It, unfortunately, it got a little better reaction than Gil T did it. Because when Gil T did it, people just went.
This guy
just told the same fucking joke. And of course, Gil T was sitting there like, that's a joke that usually gets some laughs. What happened? Right. You know what I mean?
That's a joke that's getting laughs all over the country this weekend.
Yeah, exactly. You know, what are you going to do? Oh, man, I was going to say about that. That's the weird thing. Like, that's a weird thing when you know you say a joke that usually works, and for some reason you're just sitting there and it doesn't. That's like a moment where, like, all right, I start thinking, okay, do I change? Do I alter my set list now? Do I really go into a different mode, method? You know, do you have like a moment like that you're just calling audible?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. You do. Like, I've got a pretty strong opening joke. If it doesn't work, I'll go, well, this is going to be a long 44 and a half minutes from here on out. I'll just keep swinging.
Yeah.
I heard Tony Woods one time, very funny comic at the old New York Comedy Club, and he was just fucking crushing. And all of a sudden, he did something. I don't even remember what the joke was. He tells the joke, and all of a sudden, everybody's quiet. And he goes, you know what? When you people are quiet, you do it together. And it was a great acknowledgement of that moment and not being mad. Like, I've seen young comics come out and say, what's wrong with you people? You don't know funny shit. From,
that's the kiss of death. Yeah.
I had a local comic that went at odds with me because I basically, he was booked to one of my shows. And during the show, he was bombing, basically. And he goes, it was old people in Boca Raton, the show. And he's like, oh, look at all you old people anyway. You're all going to die soon anyway. What do you know? And shit. And meanwhile, the owner looks at me. He's like, what the fuck? Right, and I go, I had a conversation with the comic. I go, dude, you can't turn on the audience. Right. You're being a dick.
Especially not that hard.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, fuck. Just own up.
I saw a guy in Stand Up New York. He's eating it. And there's these two big, big Puerto Rican guys. Like, they're wearing the guinea tees. They're just fucking built. And, and he's just eating it, and he looks at the two of them, and he just goes, so what are you two guys, like a couple of fags? And one of them looks at him and goes, dude, we'll kick the shit out of you.
Right.
And, oh, you're going to hit a little Jewish guy in glass? He goes, yeah, I'm going to fucking hit a little Jewish guy in glass. And then he just went to pick on someone else. He was eating it, so he attacked the crowd, and he almost got his ass kicked.
Yeah, that's not a good move, man.
No.
I mean, what do you do? Like, I'm trying to think of like a moment like that. Like, there's bulldozing expression. I heard you just bulldoze through your set. You go, you know what? Fuck it.
Right.
I'm just going to go through my set and, you know, and just do what I can. I mean, what else can you do at that moment?
I usually slow down a little.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let them catch up. Maybe they just need to catch up. And if by the second or third joke, I'll say, all right, well, I need a new plan. So what do you do for a living?
I could go up, break out into crowd work. And
I've done that a thousand times.
I had somebody, I did this recently because it's crowd. It was a weird place too. And that happened. And the guy was like, oh, I really hope you weren't going to do all that crowd work. I'm like, dude, I'm just trying to get the crowd going one way or the other.
Yeah.
Man. You just, you know,
they laugh. I mean,
do I do the same crowd work you do?
Right.
Right.
You know, do I do the same fucking crowd? Did I step on your fucking lines?
Uh-huh.
You know, to me, I don't give a shit when somebody does, because when somebody does crowd, especially if I'm watching a show, I don't mind it because I'll tag everything that fucking happened.
Right.
You know, as opposed to, hey, that's my thing. I do crowd work.
Right,
you know,
right.
You know, you ever anybody make a request of you, another comic ever make a request of you? Of your act, like, do less time, or don't tell this joke, or...
Oh, yeah. When I was middling, someone would say, hey, you know, can you not do that thing about the thing, and not do the thing about the thing? Like, and I'd say, okay, how come? He goes, well, because I do that. And it occurred to me when the first time that happened, I said, when I'm closing, I'm just going to make sure it's my job to follow whomever's in front of me. I'm never going to say to someone, can you not do that?
Right,
right.
That's what a headliner means. That is one of the aspects of a headliner that you should never worry about who the fuck is going ahead of you.
Right.
You know what? Here's the thing. Here's where the science of comedy kicks in again, though. Jerry Seinfeld, before he was on TV, before he was famous, he was big.
Right.
But he wasn't He was working in Florida somewhere in the middle of some like wacky high energy, and he was killing.
Right.
And Seinfeld would go out and he'd go, hey, what's those grapes? No grapes, no nuts. And he was doing okay. And after the second show, someone said, Jerry, why don't you have him fired? And he said, well, because A, he's got kids to feed, and B, yeah, they're here to see me. They get it. They get it that he's a knucklehead.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he's going to walk away going, oh, Jerry Seinfeld couldn't follow me. He goes, but I'm still
right
at a, this. He's making $5,000
yeah,
a weekend in like the late yeah, 80s.
Right, right.
He goes, my audience gets it.
Right,
they understand.
Right. That's, and again, I think right there it goes back to where we started to open the show with, to know oneself is to know God, to be responsible, acknowledge,
mm-hmm,
you know, where the fuck you're at. You know, it's like that. Like, that's like I had somebody go up high energy recently ahead of me, and I said, oh my God, I started thinking maybe I should speed up. I started thinking, and I said, no, fuck it. I got to bring them down to me.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I got to
bring
them down
to
me.
You, yeah. Right.
And then usually it works with a transition joke like, right, hey, let's hear it for that fucking, you yep, know, whatever. Right. And, you know, anyway, boom. And then,
yep,
yeah, it fucking changes.
Right,
so
right,
it's like shifting gears.
Yeah.
Just give it a moment sometimes.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody drives automatic anymore.
I definitely do.
You do? You yeah, have an automatic? I mean, stick. I meant, was that
a manual?
I yeah,
don't drive
oh,
a stick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't even say it. That's
you know
how bad.
I know people who will always drive one. They'll,
yeah,
they'll do it the rest of their lives. But like, I'm never going back to a stick.
Fuck that. If you're in traffic, you're anywhere
oh,
there has traffic, and you.
Right.
Best exercise.
Which is,
yeah,
which is everywhere down
fuck
here.
Fuck yeah! You don't drive around Miami with a
right,
with a shift with I, a ma- with a
right,
manual.
Look. Or trying to parallel park in New York City with a manual. That's
yeah,
insane.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking crazy. Anyway, hey guys, it's a little treat because it's that time.
And now for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight from the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Thank you, Peter. It's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from here and around the world and make fun of them. And we're the only newsroom with a typewriter. Florida story. A Florida woman is arrested for beating a boyfriend with a frozen pork chop.
Were they black?
No, it's a white woman.
Oh, man.
Blonde. Well, I don't know what her man she beat with is. Now she's chubby, white, and blonde.
Right.
I don't want to be racist.
It must have been a raw pork chop.
It was.
Oh, okay.
Bizarre altercation in Brooksville, Florida, between a Florida couple entered with a woman throwing a piece of meat at her boyfriend. Well, I usually throw a piece of meat at my wife every once in a while. Jennifer Broussard, 48, of Brooksville, was arrested on battery charges after she beat her boyfriend with a frozen pork chop. Mm-hmm. That hurts.
Yeah, okay.
According to the arrest report.
That changes things. It's frozen. That changes
yeah,
things. That's technically a weapon at this point.
Yeah, they were in a verbal argument on Friday when she threw the pork chop at the unidentified man who obviously doesn't want to be known. The boyfriend fled the house like a pussy. After the pork chop flew.
Pork chop,
what are you going to do next? Throw the turkey? Hey, he starts throwing prosciutto. I'm going to have my mouth open. He fled the house. Police determined Broussard was primary aggressor. Yeah, because he wasn't throwing mashed potatoes back.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, yeah, here's the fucking green beans, bitch.
You know there are people in India arguing right now would love to throw pork chops at you?
You, that pork chop cost $10. Yeah, that's. I'm going to guess that's a couple where she's making the cheddar in the house.
Or if he's making the cheddar, she's still beating his ass and getting
yeah,
it from him. Like
yeah,
she definitely runs that relationship.
Yeah,
sure.
Oddly enough, that guy's going to be a vegan next week.
Yeah.
You ain't going to hit me with a fucking pork chop ever again. I ain't going to ever buy meat.
Maybe he was to begin with. She's just, try it, you pussy.
Yeah.
That's what started the argument. Yeah.
She broke out the pork chop to cook it. He's like, oh, you know I'm a vegan, honey. I don't like to eat meat. You're going to eat this, bitch.
Sure. It would touch my face. Ew.
Yeah. That's where he ran.
I'm unpure now.
Well, this is interesting. A drunken, naked U.S. sailor is found in a Japanese couple's home early this morning. Oddly enough, the security cameras blurred out the important things. A U.S. Navy officer has been arrested in Japan after reportedly entering an unlocked house early on Saturday morning and drunkenly taking a shower. The owner found Petty Officer Second Class Nathaniel Williams inside his home in Ebina near Yokosuka Naval Base at approximately 5:10 a.m. on Saturday. He had fucking reveille he had to get ready for.
I want to hear the rest of the story. How do you go from like drinking at a bar to naked in a Japanese couple's house?
Well,
there's
you know,
a big chunk of story in there.
Yeah, I've never been to Japan, but I've watched a lot of shit on it. My wife's going there pretty soon with her family. It's going to be cool. But it's very, like, you go into a building, it's like you're walking and opening matchboxes. You know, it's like you, like, my older brother got arrested when he was a teenager because he got fucked up and thought he was going into our house, and he ended up going into the neighbor's house.
Oh, so you're saying because it's one.
Yeah, you're all fucked up, you're disoriented. Right. People do that a lot.
Right.
At least that's what my excuse was when my ex-wife caught me in the neighbor's house.
But that's actually hilarious, though.
The homeowner woke up to hear the water running in the bathroom and found 27-year-old service member in there jerking off.
Really?
No, I'm like, kidding.
Oh, I was about to say, he wasn't drunk at that point.
Yeah.
He just did that on his own.
Officials confirmed Mr. Williams serves at Naval Air Facility in Atsuki, 15 miles west of Yokohama, where they have tires, I believe. Yokohama Tire, and works within aircraft intermediate maintenance department, so he's not at least gunning the ship.
Right.
Were you in the Army?
I was in the Army, yeah. The shit show that's getting ready to happen with his career is about to be a catastrophe.
Is it really?
Especially because now it's a bad name for the Navy, too.
Yeah.
Well,
it would have been really bad if they woke up with him on his wife.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Right.
The guy's like, I want a threesome. We got a threesome. Listen, you got G.I. Joe in bed with us. What the fuck is going on?
But that's why in a lot of those like foreign countries, even like, you know, they have an army base in Korea, like they have like curfews over there because soldiers, they go across seas and just start doing shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or soldiers for army, but you know, Navy men, airmen, whatever, you know,
they get restless, those dudes.
Yeah, they get crazy.
These guys are fucking saving the world for us, and what the fuck? So let them bang your wife, dude. The fuck did you? I'd be like, look here, this is my maintenance guy, and if he's not laid, he's not getting pussy. All right, then next thing you know, a wing falls off a fucking plane.
Yep.
You know, and Godzilla attacks this fucking town, and you're all fucking toast. Yeah, I'm gonna audition for a fucking general next time.
Right.
Now this is an interesting story, and it involves a frozen seal shit. Well, a frozen seal, and they found it shit. And a USB,
like the animal, like an actual seal or a Navy seal. Are we still talking about military?
No. We're talking.
Oh, yeah. Or actual,
a Navy seal in the same area in Japan got caught in somebody's refrigerator, and they found that fucking flash drive in his ass. The gay fucking Japanese guy he was banging.
Right. Okay.
I'm just gonna put this right here, save it for later. And Reuters scientist says memories made of this USB stick found in a frozen seal's shit. Well, I said shit. They say poo.
Okay.
Scientists.
They really say poo?
Yeah, P-O-O.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, poo.
Not even feces?
Poo.
Not feces.
That's such a kiddie
excrement?
Word.
Excrement? Does that mean excrement?
Excrement? Excreta, even.
Excreta?
That was an intern who wrote that, who typed
that.
Yeah. Yeah. Very young intern.
Young millennial.
Poo.
Oh.
They found it in his...
Yeah,
they found it in his duty. Reuters scientists in New Zealand say they have found a USB memory stick containing holiday photos inside and 30,000 of Hillary Clinton's emails.
Did they really see what's in it?
Yeah.
So they fucking downloaded
it.
First of all, who's cutting through frozen seal shit? I wonder what's in here.
Hey, what's that? What's that look? Is that a USB port? Frozen slab of sea poop. They found holiday photos. The scat valuable for studying the health of leopard seals, had been stored in a freezer for a year before it was thawed out for analysis. The researcher said, concealed deep inside the scat. I'm thinking scat like shit. Like scat party, like scat porn.
Yeah.
Is that the same thing? Was same a USB thing. Stick. Maybe one of the guys that had it frozen in there, like that poor woman that was in a coma since she was a child, that somebody banged her and had a baby when she was in a coma. Remember that fucking shit? They caught the guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the guy who looked a little nervous at the next day's meeting. Somebody was banging Susan in room 405.
Who was raping the vegetable?
Who's fucking in the vegetable?
Clyde.
Why are you twitching over there, Clyde? Oh, man, I ain't gonna fuck no dead bitch. She ain't dead, Clyde. Tell me. Oops. She still gets moist.
So was this seal like...
The stick was in good condition.
I'm saying, but was this seal like just washed up on shore?
Well, they found it. And they say they froze it so they can, you know, they put it in a lab so they can test shit.
A year later.
So the seal.
They must have a lot of dead fucking seals to get to.
So the whole seal was frozen.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a seal.
They just shaved the seal shit.
Yeah, they took the shit.
Could you imagine being in that scientific? Okay, that's where we have seal shit number 45XZ.
It took a year to get to it.
Yeah.
Which is still better than a rape kit in Detroit. Rape kits in Detroit are 4 years.
Yeah. They must have a lot of shit to deal with. That's fucking we don't have time for that shit yet. We have some puke from a fucking boo-boo-boo-doo whale.
We have some poo to tend to.
And we don't have time for the poo right now. We're gonna look at this jism from a sperm whale first. Yeah. Somebody get some crackers. Stick was in good condition considering where it had come from. And the researchers let it dry out for a few weeks, probably put in a bunch of rice.
Right.
It contained photos of sea lions at Porpoise Bay on New Zealand's South Island, and a video of a mother sea lion and her baby frolicking in the shallow waters, much like our good friend Lenny Travis right now.
Yes.
Over in Coconut Creek. The only clue to who might have taken this noose off the blue kayak said adding the return of blah, blah, blah stick comes with a price. The leopard seal researchers would like some more leopard seal scat, please. Yeah, what's next? You're going to find a fucking photo album? You know?
Very old seal.
Maybe you can find some Bitcoin in there. Can you imagine if you went through some fucking frozen whale shit and you found like a million Bitcoin, which I think now is worth about 10 bucks? I remember people.
Has that crashed already?
It's been. I had a good friend of mine, and I advise people for a living. But I can't advise you on that, dude. It's not what I do. Right. And I said, this is when it was at 15,000. They go, listen, I want to only tell you that it's parabolic at this moment, which the price means it's just completely fucking gone nuts. And I said, I wouldn't buy anything now, but if you're going to buy it, buy 1/10 or 1/20 of what you would buy. So if you got 100,000, put 5,000 in it now and wait another 6 months and, you know, whatever. Didn't listen, of course, fucking asshole. Here's a story. College student finds man in closet wearing her clothes.
Wow.
People are just not finding their way home anymore.
Wow. Was he in the Navy?
Oddly enough, he had a geisha outfit on. In Greensboro, North Carolina, just there recently, a North Carolina college student says she found a man in her closet wearing her clothes, and he just didn't want to come out of the closet. Greensboro police spokesman Ron Glenn told the news outlets the unidentified student at the University of North Carolina Greensboro came home at lunch Saturday and heard a noise in her closet. And their off-campus apartment. Yeah, I lived on campus for a semester, and then that was it. No more fucking on-campus living. The student, blah, 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 says, the student opened the closet door to find the man sitting on the floor in her clothing with a bag full of clothes, shoes, and socks. She said that she talked to the man for about 10 minutes. Well, that's interesting.
Wow.
If I find somebody with my fucking wife's clothes on in the fucking closet, we're not doing much talking.
Yeah, if I find them in the closet at all.
I'm going to speak a little Chinese.
They don't even have to worry about putting on my clothes.
Yeah.
Like, why are you in here?
See, this is a white girl.
This is definitely a white girl. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a white girl. Wow. Why
you scroll
are you
through
and
you
closet?
See she's black instead.
I'm really curious why you chose it. Why did you choose that blouse over this one?
Right.
How long have you been in my closet?
Glenn said the man wasn't violent and doesn't believe he and the student know one another, but now they're going to go out for Starbucks later. Police charged 30-year-old Andrew Clyde Swafford with misdemeanor breaking and entering and basically being a douche. Yeah.
That is insane.
Yeah.
At its finest.
But that's not like, you know, you found somebody in your fucking closet.
Yeah. Right. How long had he been there for? Right. Did they know?
7 weeks. He had a little fucking George Foreman grill in there, you know.
Thawing out frozen pork chops.
Yeah, the first thing, he's probably hot. The guy's on cocaine. He's in the apartment. He's getting bored. He's hot, horny. He's got nobody around, so the next best thing to another woman, having a woman around, is a woman's clothes.
Right.
Yeah.
Then you start, oh, I got to go fucking feel it on my face. And listen, I never done this. I'm just assuming.
You got a pretty good breakdown, though.
Yeah, I don't want to go any further and self-incriminate myself. Here's a story. Tennessee man died of meth overdose. Wait, it gets worse. Before it being eaten by a bear.
Whoa.
I guess it would have been a lot worse if it went the other way around.
Does that mean the bear is all methed up?
Yeah. Bears walk around What's up, everybody?
That bear would have some meth then, no?
Yeah, it says here, actually, the bear blew a picnicker for $20 and a fucking peanut butter jelly sandwich. Oh, my God. Tennessee man died of meth overdose before being eaten by a bear.
But how do they know that
which happened first?
Like he died. Like how do if he was eaten by the bear? Like,
well, so, I guess they after they got done looking through the seal shit, they went through the bear shit.
They went through bear shit. Hey, there's some meth in here.
There's not that many teeth. I'm gonna guess that the guy was a meth head. A man whose body was discovered partially eaten by a bear in the Great Smoky Mountains in National Park last year died of meth overdose. Before the bear ever got to him.
That hillbilly tasted so bad, a bear ate a part and went, nah, I can do better. Yeah. I'm not going to eat the whole hillbilly.
He didn't eat the whole fucking thing. He's like, there's something bad in this one.
Yeah.
It's like getting a bad grape. Right? You ever eat grapes and you fucking eat that one? You're like, I ain't eating any more of these fucking grapes.
Yeah.
It just ruins it for all of it.
Yeah. The remains of William Lee Hill, Jr. of Louisville, Tennessee, were discovered in the National Park in September when the officials encountered a bear feeding on the body in an area off the trail.
Oh, wow. Jesus.
Without knowing the exact cause of death, park officials, wildlife professionals decided to euthanize the bear. Poor bear. Fucking not
right.
Blame over the bear.
Over a meth head?
He didn't even kill the meth head.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, he was just fucking, hey, this guy ain't going anywhere.
Take him out. Take him out.
Yeah.
The bear is probably an ice bear. He walked up and, hey, buddy, you all right?
I'd let that bear run around the trailer parks and clean it up a bit.
Yeah.
Eat all the meth heads.
The bear wasn't even eating. It was like some vultures. He ran them off. It was like checking on them and shit.
Oh, actually,
they take out the bear.
Actually, it says here that Governor of California, Jerry Brown, just asked for the bear to go and walk the streets of San Francisco and take care of some of the fucking homeless there. Without knowing the bear a few days later for public safety reasons. Well, fucking bear. It's not the bear's fault, man. God, you know. Can you imagine how bad the poor bear. Bear eats a fucking meth head, thinks this tastes like shit. Right? It tastes acidy.
Right.
You know, it tastes like I'm eating bleach and shit. And then, you know, and then he goes in, okay, I'm going in with these people. He wakes up after getting tranquilized dart and goes, we just looked through your shit. You're not getting back up. What the fuck, man? I can't tell the other bears not to eat the guys with no teeth. Let me go back. Tell my friends. I'll be back.
You eat one meth head in the Smoky Mountains and they kill you.
That's it.
Who are these bears eating meth heads?
Yogi ate a bunch of picnic baskets. He's on cartoons and on fucking people's lunch boxes. I eat a meth head, you know, clear away the rubbish and you fucking kill me.
The rubbish.
Yeah. Speaking of eating, pro athlete, 18 years old, swallows toothpick in sandwich and nearly dies. That's a hungry motherfucker right there. Take the fucking toothpick out.
How did he even make it to professional athlete? Athlete.
He's like before practice, carving up.
Rule number one of the BLT, don't eat the wood.
Yeah. It's not BLTW.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I've owned in Spanish cooking, we have like these, my mother would make like squid. Like in red sauce, like this big squid, like the what you guys usually get the rings and then you'd put stuffing in it, you know, like crab stuffing and then you'd wrap it and you put a fucking toothpick through it. You know, I even remember being the age of fucking 9 or 10 going, I'm taking a toothpick out. Right. I'm not going to eat that toothpick.
Right.
Asked my mom. I see, this is how inquisitive I was. I even asked my mom back then, Mom, why the hell is there a toothpick in this thing? And I learned it was there to keep the fucking thing together while it's cooking.
Right. Is that what it is? The meatballs?
Yeah, look at these Swedish meatballs. A professional athlete who swallowed a toothpick nearly died after suffering from a string of horrifying health problems. Yeah, imagine when that shit goes down.
Right.
The unidentified 18-year-old male athlete was admitted to the hospital after he experienced fevers, suffered from abdominal pain. I think I just ate a toothpick myself. And had bloody stool. Ugh, you don't want bloody stool.
Jesus.
That means, you know, that bloody stool is when you got, like, your shit's black.
Yeah.
Black?
Right? Yeah. Like or you drink a lot of red wine.
Yes.
I panicked one time. I had my
me
shit.
Too.
Yeah. Right? I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with me? And I thought I had blood in my stool. No, I just had some Cabernet in my mouth all night. I smiled, like, what's wrong with me? My teeth look like you know. I remember one time I did a gig. Felt like shit. It was in Montgomery, Alabama. I was working some comics in Orlando. I was supposed to do a spot in the Orlando Improv. So we I ate some bad fucking pizza.
Right.
At this place, I had stomach ache, felt like shit. I took some Pepto Bismol, and I'm in the car driving from Mobile to Orlando, just feeling like shit. And then I wake up in the hotel, and I look, and my tongue was black, like just like, right. Dude, like the this fucking laptop, right. Like oh, and like scraping in. What the fuck? I thought I had the plague. I don't fucking, you know what I mean? You know, I was like scared as shit, and then oh, so right away I talk to somebody like, I Google it. Sometimes with Pepto Bismol or something, or some of these will cause a.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And meanwhile, I'm like, what the fuck?
Plague.
Did I smoke meth and blow a black guy? What happened to my mouth?
Jesus.
Yeah. He had blood in his stool. And this is all based on the New England
He's
medicine.
He's lucky that's all he had, which is blood in his stool.
He went to emergency room, but wasn't diagnosed with anything specific. Several visits to the medical professional later, it was still unclear what was wrong with the athlete. When the man developed 105-degree temperature, somebody said, well, we're missing something. And then they called, what's his name, that TV show I used to like with that fucking English actor with limped. I forgot his name now. He under, that's my testing my Alzheimer's. I got to make sure. Yeah. Huh. Is that one guy that was really smart and he had all his doctors with him that he'd fire every once in a while. It's a one word name.
House.
House. Yeah, you. House. Yes. Thank you. Fuck, I would have been bugging me all day. Says here, doctor discovered a toothpick almost 2 inches big lodged inside his colon. Had pierced an artery and allowed bacteria to enter his bloodstream. When the toothpick was removed, the blood began to gush from his artery in a life-threatening situation. It had caused so much damage that the doctors had to remove 1.5-inch segment of the artery. Oh, this is all fucking Jesus. Medical shit. Let's go eat, everybody.
Jesus.
Yeah.
How did he even swallow a toothpick, though? Like,
yeah.
You know, that's what
I'm
saying.
Something that you just accidentally
and it's
swallow.
A 2-inch. All right. So let's see. So what could have happened, you had a meatball, and some asshole went to grab the fucking meatball, and the toothpick broke. And then the guy says, well, fuck, I'm not going to eat that meatball. And he left it on the fucking tray.
Right. So he probably ate half of it.
The guy ate a meatball and saw one. Where's the toothpick? Oh, I'll eat it. And he ate it. He stuck his toothpick from the first meatball.
Right.
Sticks it in his mouth. Eats that. You know, oh, that was a little crunchy. Maybe there was a little breadcrumb in there. And then, you know, next thing you know, he's got blood in his stool.
Ugh.
I should have been Sherlock Holmes, man. That's deductive fucking reasoning, right? Anybody else got a fuck? Anybody else want to come up with a better thing?
Not even House could have come up with a better thing.
He would need a team of doctors, House.
Diagnosis.
He would need a fucking shitload of people. All right, our final story of the day. A South Carolina man reportedly fakes his own kidnapping for $130.
I heard about this. And the thing about it is, it was from his mom.
Yeah?
He was trying to get $130 from his mom. So he faked his kidnapping and tried to, like, get the people to pay $130 to get him back.
Wow. They must have got suspicious when they're only asking for $130.
And he's, like, 19 or something.
Yeah.
He's not even, like, he's 6.
South Carolina man was arrested after he allegedly faked his own kidnapping, trying to swindle his mother at $130.
Did he leave a note?
Can't he just steal it like everybody else does? Yeah. Steal it from your mom's purse? Yeah. Emmanuel Franklin, 19, plotted his alleged plan on January 22nd, according to the news. Franklin reportedly told his mother that if she didn't put the money in a mailbox of his choosing, not too far from the house because I don't have a car, that he would be murdered by kidnappers. The mother told Sumter County deputies she received a call from her son and a man she didn't know, and relayed the incident to them. The man later reportedly fessed up to investigators. You fucking rat! And allegedly admitted to trying to get the money from his mother. Listen, this is the crazy shit you got to expect. Listen, everything that's happening in the world, right? I say that I'm a survivalist. I'm a self-preservationist first, okay? Right. So if somebody's walking down the street, I don't care if they're black, white, what the fuck? I automatically think that person may want to fucking end up killing me for some reason, right. Rob me. I don't have time to, I'm not going to judge that. Listen, I don't want to be fucking wrong as they're.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't being racist. I trusted you. Right. No, fuck that, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm a self-preservationist. I'm not going to go walk and make an asshole. But I'm just going to, as you were saying in your videos, I'm going to take note. What are you saying? You're making comments in your videos. You were being
Situational awareness.
It's a real thing. You're always, you know, right, fuck, right. You know, When I go to a restaurant, I don't sit right by the fucking front door so some old fucking lady who mistakes reverse from drive plows me into the fucking kitchen.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's a big, you know, you got to do that nowadays, man. You got to expect shit is going to happen. All these fucking shooting, gun rights and bullshit. No, fuck that.
I mean,
it'll be years before people won't walk with guns, if ever, on this country.
Yep.
And I don't think it ever will happen. So guess what? You better watch out that some asshole is going to fucking put a bullet in your head because they're pissed at their girlfriend.
Right.
And you're at a Starbucks.
Yep.
Right? And he's shooting everybody in the fucking Starbucks because that's where the guy she's fucking met her.
Right.
No, that's why I'm in a Starbucks. Why did you go to Dunkin' Donuts, you fucking dumbass?
Ha ha, he works at Jamba Juice. Joke's on you.
Yeah, I'm not going to Starbucks. I'm going to go to Jamba Juice. Anyway.
Because you got to even think about it. I mean, all these stories you just read, like, all this stuff is happening simultaneously.
Yeah.
Like, these are just five random stories, and all this shit is happening in the world.
And these are the ones we heard about.
Right, that's what I'm saying. This is just a small...
Yeah.
Handpick. Like, and this stuff happens on the daily. Like, you don't even know.
Well, see, that's why we had Defy here. We're not only a comedy podcast, an educational podcast, and we're an inspirational podcast. Okay?
And a survivalist podcast.
That's right. This
Talk
is Ted,
about
Ted Nugent's ain't got nothing on this fucking podcast. Anyway, that's all we have time for the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Again, I want to thank my guest today, Mr. Rudy Wilson.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you having me, man.
And, of course, Kevin Downey Jr.
Thank you for having me.
These guys are going to be at the Wise Guys Comedy Show tonight at Tavolino della Notte, the best eggplant parm you've ever eaten in your life, if you haven't had that. Tonight, 8:15, just $15 to get there. RSVP, come see us. We're going to head over there now. Other than that, guys, I took this month off. I've been traveling like a fucking gnome. And, you know, I'm like, fuck it. I'm just chilling out. What do you got coming up?
Let's see.
You're going to be in Fort Pierce Saturday night. I know at the Black Box Theater.
Yes, and I'm going to be somewhere Friday.
That's a club over there in Palm Bay, new club, a country club out there.
Is that close to here?
It's about an hour and a half.
Oh, it's not bad.
Not too bad. And then Fort Pierce, great room out there. Always, I've been there. It's fucking, those guys, Casey and Spaz, do a great show.
Doing the Cayman Islands next month.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, first time been there.
Nice. You got to have the conch chowder. The
really?
Best conch chowder you've ever eaten anywhere in the world.
I'll do it.
They got sea turtles is a big thing there in Cayman Islands.
They're so cute.
Yeah, well, you got to eat them, so don't be looking at them like, oh, that's cute. Anyway, Rudy, what you got coming?
excuse me. Coming up recently, I got...
besides phlegm.
Yeah.
I got phlegm coming up. Yeah,
I don't know what the fuck is happening there. I guess two shows coming up on Sunday. I'm doing a show called Poets and Talents with some people I just linked up with in Hollywood, and then doing the corner with Manny.
Yep.
Gary
cool,
Vito.
Cool.
Yeah, and then on Valentine's Day, I'll be at Barter and Wynwood as well as out in Fort Lauderdale for two Valentine's Day shows. So, you know, at Rudy Comedy, RudyComedy.com. You know, I post everything on there. You can just find me there.
Yeah, and by the way, big show's coming up. I'm going to be at the Orlando Improv on February 20th and 21st with Bigelow and Friends. My buddy Brian Glowacki is the headliner. So go out there and say that you heard it here on the show. Go to DougieAlmeida.com for more dates and follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Dougie Dangerous. What's your fucking Instagram? Because there's a couple people.
There's a fake one, so I'm actual KDJ.
All right, that's the one I've been posting to. So figured the other guy's a fucking hack. What's wrong with you reach out to this guy and say, what are you doing with my Instagram fucking thing?
When I was on America's Got Talent, I didn't have one yet. And he saw me and instantly created one.
Wow.
And then someone told me about it.
Does he have more followers than you?
Probably.
That sucks. Anyway, follow the show at Twitter at Wake Up Dougie and join our fan page on Facebook, Wake Up Live with Dougie Show. Go to our main site at podbean.com and be a patron donor. We take $1 a month donation. It goes to the gas money to our co-host and gets me Asian massages on the weekends. Thanks for checking out, guys. We'll be back next week with all new shows. See you then. Right here.
People on earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they traveled to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. There beamed light hit the ground.